please talk to you for a minute?
Can I please talk to you for a minute? I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back, Wisconsin. If you give us a call or a text, be sure to say hello to my producer extraordinaire, Brian Kelly, in the box. Thanks for being here, Brian. But I'm really excited to bring back a very special guest, Journal Sentinel reporter, James Causey. Welcome back, James. Thanks for being here.
Hey, thanks for having me.
And happy early Memorial Day weekend to you and yours.
Same to you. You got anything planned?
I'm going to try to do as little as humanly possible. That's my big plan. Those weekends are few and far between, you know what I mean? So when I can just sit and think, that's a good weekend. What about you, sir? What do you got on the docket?
I may put a couple of things on a grill. It depends on the weather. If it keeps raining and stuff, I think we'll just sit around the house and chill.
Right? You know you're from the MKE, the 414, and Wisco when you call it grilling out. That is, we grill out. When I moved to other parts of the country, I said, you grilling out? They looked at me like, what are you talking about? But we should have you on. We'll discuss the finer points of grilling mechanics and what you enjoy to grill. But today we're here because you just released a piece 10 days ago, I believe, on May 14th, about this explosion that we've seen, frankly, nationwide, we're seeing it also in Wisconsin, of frankly sexual affairs between teachers and students. And Mr. Causey, I love the way that you frame this up, because back when we were growing up, every single teacher I always addressed as Mr. and Mrs. I never talked to them outside of school hours. If I saw them in the grocery store, it was like my entire world had just been turned on its end. You know, like the teacher, it just existed in the classroom. That's the only place I saw them. But it seems like it's almost at an epidemic level now. You quoted or referred to a 20-year-old analysis by the U.S. Department of Education that found that from kindergarten to 12th grade, approximately 1 in 10 children experienced some form of sexual misconduct from an educator. What's going on?
Yeah, it's a good question. And, you know, I don't think people really pay attention to how serious of an epidemic this is. Just think about this. It's every single day, there's a student being sexually harassed or assaulted by a teacher in the United States. That should be shocking to anyone and everyone, because it could be your kid, and it just doesn't happen to boys. I mean, girls, it happens to boys as well. And I don't understand why teachers would take this risk. You know, and I think a lot of reasons why this is happening is, you know, the onset of so many social media sites that you could communicate with students with. You know, there's TikTok, there's, you know, old people still use Facebook, but there's Instagram and all these other ways, Snapchat, all these other ways to reach out. And you know what I was really surprised at, after the story ran, I was talking with my daughter. She's 20 years old, but she said when she was a senior in high school, one of her teachers started reaching out to her, or friended her on social media, and she thought that was a little weird. And I did too. She didn't tell me at the time, but it just seems a little weird to me that a teacher would even want to be friends with a young person on social media. It seems like a teacher, that would be the last thing that they would want, that kind of contact and access to young people.
Yeah, I think you've got put your finger right on it. And you also mentioned in your article, which was, as I started reading your piece, which you can find at JS Online, was the first thought that popped into my head was, I think teachers, it's perceived to be, and I think is in many ways, a much more challenging profession. Burnout rates are incredibly high. I think many seasoned teachers have left the profession. Certainly, we saw a mass exodus here in Wisconsin following Act 10 out of the public school systems. And so you see younger and younger teachers, just sort of writ large on average, with fewer and fewer older teachers to act as mentors and to really model a lot of what the most healthy, most functional teacher-student relationships are. You noted explicitly in your article, when you, back in the day when we were in school, I didn't have any teachers that were anywhere near close to my age. Yeah. I didn't have any 22, 23, zero of my teachers were in their 20s.
And you probably noticed this too. I go to a lot of schools to speak, and they had me in talking about, you know, what I do is for my career and things like that. The style of dress of some of the teachers too is, you know, sometimes when I go to a school, I don't know who the teacher is and who the student is until they announce themselves as Miss or Mrs. Such and Such. And I understand, you know, teachers have to be able to connect to students in unique ways. They have to be like the cool teacher and things like that. But none of my teachers were considered the cool teachers when I was in school. And it wasn't that long ago. When you think about it, but this big change that's occurring now is it should be frightening. But I you know, one of the professionals that I talked to about this said, if your child tells you that they've been assaulted, you better believe them, because it's a good chance that it's happening.
Yeah. And I think like all many situations, when you're talking about the abuse of children and the violation of boundaries that should be sacrosanct, this isn't about one gender of child. This isn't about wealthy or poor kids. This is happening to every kind of kid in every kind of educational setting, both public schools and private schools, very hoity-toity places, your regular down-the-street school. So if folks think their kids, you know, oh, that could never happen here, I think your piece was certainly a wake-up call. You also referenced in your article, a recent Fox News study found that 349 public educators were arrested for child-related sex crimes in 2022 alone. And yet, there is a lack of comprehensive data on instances of teacher sexual abuse towards students. James, do you have any suggestions for parents on how to diligence or how to check out or what sort of questions to ask either an individual teacher or a school that a child is attending?
Well, I think one of the main things that parents can do is monitor their their children's social media accounts.
Yes.
You have to do that. You know, your children are on your telephone accounts or your phone accounts, so you could access and should have access to their information. And if you think about it, like, for instance, some of the local cases here where the one teacher, she sent a student a nude picture of herself and as a test, it seems like, and said, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that. And she started talking to the kid. And next thing you know, they were having sex in the school and back in the woods. And she bought this kid a gun. A gun. Just imagine how crazy this could have been. She bought him a gun for his birthday. That yes. is absolutely insane. But like I said, monitor your kids' phones, monitor their social media accounts, and kids talk.
Yes.
Pictures and things like that, they get circulated. So, you know, it's important to really pay attention to those kind of things, because, you know, kids really can't keep secrets like that.
Yeah. And I think, you know, there's this challenge that faces so many parents these days about trying to foster a healthy sense of autonomy and some semblance of privacy for your child, right? And what that boundary is. And yet there are such grave risks that exist at a number and with an acuteness that simply wasn't there when I was growing up or when you were growing up, James. The case that you mentioned is a recent one. That teacher was 35 years old. So this wasn't some 20-something young teacher. It seems that this teacher frankly engaged in what can only be termed grooming behavior.
Yes.
And I think you see this in some of these cases. I mean, you reference in your piece the fact that back when we were growing up, there was one case that everybody knew of, and that was Mary Kay Letourneau. And she went to prison. They made movies about it. She ended up marrying. But it was one case. This wasn't. Now, my guess would be that there were many more instances, and they simply were not reported. And you reference that, again, Most experts believe that these incidents are very much underreported. Folks, this half hour, we're talking to my special guest, reporter from the Journal Sentinel, James Causey. We're talking about his recent piece published on May 14th that talks about the increasing incidents and, frankly, increasing levels of publicity around these sexual abuse of students by teachers. You detail in your article, James, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 fairly well-publicized cases of teachers here. Are you seeing any common threads between these sorts of cases?
See, that's the scary part, because there is no common thread. I mean, one teacher that was sentenced, she was 75 years old. So that sort of blows your mind. But we're seeing single teachers, married teachers, teachers with kids who are doing this. And the cases that I mentioned, since my story has run, there's been like 4 or 5 other cases since then across the state. So it's really an epidemic. And, you know, there's certain signs, again, that people should watch for in their kids. You know, if the kid starts acting secretive, if the kid starts staying out or staying after school for no apparent reason, you know, and I would just be very cautious of letting my child go over to a teacher's house and just spend hours and hours over there. And, you know, you see some cases like this as well. And in one case where the one teacher, the male teacher was sending the grooming case where the teacher was sending these very provocative Instagram photos to this young lady. His excuse was that he was trying to build up her self-esteem. But you look at the criminal complaint shows and with the pictures and some of the things he was saying towards her, that wasn't building up self-esteem.
Yeah, that was grooming behavior. We're going to take a couple of quick messages, come right back with my special guest this half hour, Journal Sentinel reporter James E. Causey, talking about the epidemic of sexual relationships between teachers and students. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. You have a question or comment for James and I, 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. We'll be back in just a moment. I'm sorry that you seem to be confused. He belongs to me. The boy is mine. Welcome, Wisconsin. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network, broadcasting live from our Waukesha studios, the WAUK. My guest this half hour, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reporter James E. Causey. Thanks so much for being here, James. We're talking about, I had sort of noted the frequency of these reports that I was seeing in the media of teachers having sexual relationships with students, which in all cases are rape. Let's be very clear about that. A child cannot consent. And when you are a teacher, even if the child is 18, that still is a crime. In March, Governor Evers signed a bipartisan law that further criminalizes sexual misconduct by school staff members or volunteers against students. Folks can now face up to 3.5 years in prison and have their teaching license revoked. I should say so. And you list a number of cases. Again, these are both men and women, ages 50, 29, 75, 29, 35. They're from all over. Waukesha, Milwaukee, Madison, Monroe County, Kenosha, Two Rivers, Oak Creek. Again, it can happen anywhere. And during the break, James, you were bringing up something that I think is really important to talk with folks about and share.
Yeah. So, you know, you often hear the barbershop talk of sometimes men say things like, you know, I didn't have teachers that looked like that when I was in school, or I wish my teacher would have did this to me. I would have kept quiet about it. That's this silly macho talk. But, you know, I always question when men like that, because they would not be saying the same thing if this happened to their child. So this is rape. That's really what it is. It's grooming, it's rape. And this can have long-term consequences to the young person, and hurt people hurt people. So we have to stop in this cycle before it even gets started. And I don't think enough attention is being brought to it. I'm just happy that Governor Evers sees this as a problem. That's why he came up with this bill, because he said, look, this can't keep happening. And we have to put more teeth into laws to make sure that this stops.
Well, and I think his statement upon signing the law is right on point. Again, this is from Mr. Causey's reporting in the Journal Sentinel, which you can find at jsonline.com. Governor Evers, back in March, when he signed this legislation increasing the criminal penalties for sexual misconduct by school staff against students, said this: as a former educator, I'm thinking, how can we ever get to this point that we need a bill for this? I mean, no kidding. This is one of the most impactful relationships for young children and middle school children and high school kids, is that relationship of trust. It involves discipline. Teachers have an incredible impact on not just the intellectual, but the emotional and social development of children, that this kind of violation, especially where the child is groomed, as is so often the case, it will reverberate throughout this young person's life.
Yeah. I mean, you said it absolutely right. And so we started to really see, this is the question. Has this always been going on?
Right.
Or is this a product of the Me Too movement and all these other things? So, you know, that's the basic argument. What we need to really focus on is that these numbers are a lot higher. We just don't know about it. These are just the reported numbers. These are the ones that come to court, the cases that we know about. Just think there's hundreds and hundreds that we don't know about. That's the scary part, because sexual assault and rapes are the most underreported crime in this country. And it passes on even when teachers are having inappropriate relationships with young people.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more about not just that we know statistically how underreported it is, but linking that reality to the point that you made when we came back from break, and that is that we need to stop sort of sensationalizing. This would be great if this happened to me when I was a young guy, especially around young boys. That culture or that framework certainly discourages a young man or a boy from reporting or talking about this, which will place certain young boys at grave risk, all else being equal. And so understanding that it is underreported, I think I want to take an opportunity for you to note some of those warning signs for parents that are listening right now. If you have young children in school, here's James Causey explaining some of the warning signs that your kid may be being groomed and that you should look into this. Go ahead, James. Let's remind folks again.
One of the main things is like grades, really sudden change in grades, maybe a grade slip, you know, in a course that they were suddenly doing well in. The young person being more private and not being as talkative. And, you know, I think sometimes we get that mixed up with just a young person being a teen and going through different emotions and things like that. But when they start doing things like that, being very secretive with their phone and not really trying to be private with it, when they try to hide their phones from you, and really pay attention to the data that's being used on your phone. That's one of the telltale signs, because if there's usually a lot of photos and videos sent back, and you could pick up on those kind of things if you see a large amount of data being used on a young person's phone. So you could pay attention to those little things. And then as a parent, you could always ask, I need to see your phone. you have the right, your bill, so you could always ask to see the phone and stop a lot of this.
Just want to give people a resource. There is the Wisconsin Coalition Against Sexual Assault. They have some resources for parents. You can always check that out. And I think fundamentally, when we address these issues as a society and as a community, as neighbors, as members of the same synagogue, mosque, or church. Let's believe our young people when they tell us if they're indicating that there's a problem. Let's give them the space to be able to share with us and truly listening to our young people. So not just women, right? All of our young people, anyone that is reporting some sort of boundary breach, overstep, or assault, let's believe people.
Yes, that's where it starts.
It absolutely does. James, what do you have in the hopper that folks should be looking for next from you at JS Online?
Well, I did run this. A story ran last week that I posted. It'll probably run in a paper sometime, maybe over the weekend or over the long holiday. I had an opportunity to sit down and watch probably the dumbest sport I've ever seen in my life. This new sport, if you want to call it that, the slap contest, where men, women, and little people are slapping the hell out of each other, all in the name for just to make a couple hundred bucks. And Dana White, the UFC president, is making tons of money off of this. Now, while it may be for our own entertainment and everything, you see these people slap silly and they could barely stand after they could take a slap. He's making millions off of these people. And
hundreds of millions of dollars. Yes. You got to go check that article out. My blood boiled when I read it on slap fighting, the newest thing from abuser extraordinaire Dana White. And I mean, abusing athletes to make a buck on their backs and on their brains getting turned into scrambled eggs. Thanks so much for being here, James Causey, reporter from the Journal Sentinel. You can find his work at JS Online. Have a great Memorial Day weekend, James.
Folks, don't
go anywhere. I'm going to have Civic Media's own Terry Barr when we return after these brief messages and your farm update, talking about what's local and overlooked in Wisconsin news. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening.
Inappropriate. Stop it.
Your love. You have to prove your love.
Welcome back, Wisconsin. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio and Network, our last segment of the week. Last half hour, I should say. Happy Friday to everybody. Happy early Memorial Day weekend. If you're wondering what to do this afternoon, not to worry. The Brewers are atop the NL Central, two games ahead of the dreaded Cubs.
For now.
You can,
for now.
For now. Stop, Ryan. We will not be. There will be no pro-Cubs propaganda on this program.
So. Oh, it's not propaganda. It's just, you know. We have a decent manager. That's all I'm saying.
Craig, how could you? You can check out the Brewers versus the Boston Red Sox. They're in Boston facing the Big Green Monster. First pitch at 6:10 p.m. local time. We've got the Brewers. If you are in the listening area of WRCE, WRJN, WISS, or WCQM, check it out. But I'm really excited, as I am on nearly all Fridays, to have with me Civic Media's own Terry Barr. Welcome back, Terry, with what's local and overlooked in Wisconsin. How you doing, Terry?
Hey, Maggie. I am doing well. Thank you. Happy Friday. And as you said, kicking off the Memorial Day weekend, I have good news and bad news. You know, you hear this sometimes. Which would you prefer to hear first in our local overlooked?
I'm a glutton. Let's do the bad news first, Terry.
I'm kind of the same way. Yes. Okay, here we go. So police in Oshkosh are sending out a message about a man who has been found in at least three women's bedrooms. Yeah. Officers are saying every single time the women were able to scream and get away from him, they also were able to scare the suspect away with those screams. Now, no one is hurt, luckily. Nothing has been taken. But with the long holiday weekend ahead and everyone running in and out and going places, yeah, police are saying, no matter where you live, no matter what you're doing, lock your doors and your windows. They did find in at least two of these three situations, the doors had been unlocked. So the guy was able to just walk in.
Yeah, lock your doors and windows. I'll just make this comment as an old has-been athlete. One of the things that I know was incredibly helpful in my beating off my assaulter was the fact that I was very accustomed to, frankly, physical contact from playing sports. And I think one of the things that I wish that we did a better job of as a culture is letting women know and really helping women to be okay with fighting back and some of those physical interactions. You know, like, I don't need to know the rules of football to survive in this world, but with the incidence of sexual assault in this country, most women are probably going to need to figure out how to use their fisticuffs if they need to at some point in their life. And I wish we really encourage women to be fully enabled and fully empowered to use every tool at their disposal, including their fists and knees and fingers and poking eyes and all that kind of stuff to defend themselves. But at the very minimum, keep your awareness up, your doors and windows locked. This was in Oshkosh, you say, Terry?
Oshkosh, and at least three have been reported, all very, very much the same. And the women were able to describe the person they found in the bedroom. Two of the cases, the women woke up and this man was standing there. The one, a woman came home and the man was in her bedroom. So they've all described a very similar suspect, and police finally decided they had to get the word out. And it finally is coming out today.
That's like a scary movie. I can't imagine anything as horrifying as that, right? I mean, it just, whew, awful. Well, give us some good news, Terry.
That's why I thought perfect to share it on your show. And now we'll move to the good news. A central Wisconsin pastor raised $26,000 to pay off student meal debt. Pastor Yava Yang started a GoFundMe for families in the Wausau School District. He found there were too many struggling to try to pay for their kids' lunch. And of course, we've heard this how many times where you need food, you know, kind of as that fuel when you're trying to do things during the day. Well, the debt in Wausau alone for unpaid lunches was sitting at $20,000. The families are just above the cutoff, so they couldn't get the free or reduced lunch price. They had to pay, but in many cases, as this pastor found, they weren't able to repay. So he is now doing all the repayments. There is no debt as they come to the end of the school year. One thing I found interesting, the public school debt for lunch across the country sits right around $262 million. That's a lot of kids that wouldn't get lunch.
Yeah, it's incredible to me. During the pandemic, there was a great expansion of the free meal program for students, and they loosened the restrictions around the income level limits. To me, I have never understood why it's not free meals for any kid at school. It would help reduce the stigma of those receiving free lunch or breakfast. Why we're keeping debt on kids that have a hard time affording, their parents and families have a hard time to afford just their basic daily meals at school is beyond me. Mm-hmm. This one seems like a no-brainer, no matter where you're from or what your political leanings are. Kids need to eat in school. Let's just give them the food.
Yeah. Yep. Well, it is fuel for their studies, for their brain. And I know a lot of schools also went to serving breakfast. Yes. But in talking with a variety of people, breakfast in a lot of the school districts has ended altogether. So some kids may only be getting lunch. And then to know you've got this debt hanging over your head and your family's head, I totally agree with you, Maggie. I wish there was something more to do, but you really got to love when people like this Wausau pastor step up and say, I'm going to take care of this for now, but then we got to figure out something.
Yes. Well, Terry, thanks so much for that. I also wanted to say thank you for the wonderful article that you wrote about my discussion last week with Tom Paulsiewicz about corruption in government. And it led me to this question that I wanted to ask you for those of us nerdy types that like, you know, that take our writing very seriously, especially about heavy substantive topics like corruption in government. If you are writing this sentence, Terry, I want you to tell me how many commas you put in the sentence. I went to the store and bought apples, grapes, and bananas. Do you have two commas or just one?
Apples, comma, grapes, comma.
Ah, and bananas, you're a two comma, or that is the cereal comma. Terry, I have always been a fan of the cereal comma. Now, the interesting thing, listen, most news media, as well as the Chicago Manual of Style, they have now abandoned the decades-old cereal comma in favor of just the one comma. So it's, I go to the store and bought apples, comma, grapes, and bananas, no second comma. The heresy of that as a nerdy writer. But here's the interesting thing. The most notable outcome from the Trump hush money trial, the voter manipulation trial in New York City, Terry, is that Donald Trump also likes the cereal comma. It's the only thing that you and I agree with Mr. Trump about is the use of the cereal comma. This was actually part of the testimony this past week, Terry, which I found just hilarious. There was testimony that was taken from his personal assistant, former personal assistant and ex-director of Oval Office Operations, Madeleine Westerhout, who detailed that he would fine-tune his tweets and that he likes the serial comma. So he uses that comma before the final and in a list of items. Mm-hmm. Fascinating.
Often if it's similar things, like you mentioned, that second comma probably doesn't have to be there because it's all the same, basically same items, same topic. But I know I'm really a stickler for that second comma when it comes to it's three very, very different things.
Well, there was a really funny example that I found in a Washington Post article sort of reflecting on Donald Trump's use of the cereal, also known as Oxford comma. And that's this sentence. Yes. I dedicate this book to my parents, comma, Warren Buffett and Oprah Winfrey. You really need a comma in there to figure out what exactly is happening. But I thought it was just fascinating that Donald Trump is a stickler about the cereal comma. He edits those in according to his former personal assistant.
Nobody knows the game better than I do.
the man certainly is a tweeting genius. Now, I had another question for you, Terry, as long as I've got you on the horn. Have you come across this shopping app or website, or have you seen ads pop up as you're perusing the day's news called Temu?
Oh, absolutely. I think it follows me, Maggie.
It's like stalking everyone in the country right now. Have you ever bought anything from Temu?
I will admit I did, but it's been, it's got to be more than a year ago. I bought a pair of shoes.
Okay, so how long did it take for them to arrive? That's my first question.
Someone actually stole the pair of shoes. It was a little porch pirate. I wanted these shoes so badly. I actually got in touch with a customer service rep, and they resent the shoes, no cost. And then I actually got an additional item in my package that was not ordered. So I got a bonus.
Yeah, they'll send you the little bonus items. So overall, you thought it was a good experience.
I thought it was a good experience, but you are buying cheap. And eventually, the cheap will get you.
It is very,
longer,
very cheap. Yes.
It is ridiculous. Yes. Yes. And if that's what you are into and what you can afford, very cool. But I worry about so much of that then ending up in the landfill.
Of course. I want to hear from folks out there in our listener land. Hey, have you bought any goods from Temu? What was your experience? I'm going to explain a little bit more about what the heck Temu is, what its business model is, because I've looked at stuff on there and I'm like, how do they make any money if this only costs 50 cents? But if you've bought something from Temu, if you want to chime in, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. I've got a girlfriend, Terry, that swears by Temu. She's now basically buying all of her clothes from Temu because she just can't get over the bargain basement pricing.
And she's had no problems. She loves it. She's sticking with it.
Yeah, she a couple of things that she doesn't like. She's like, oh, you can return it for no cost. It's great. But effectively, as you were pointing out, Terry, a lot of it is basically disposable clothes. Like you wear it a couple of times and it's going to fall apart, which is part of my concern. Listen, folks, it's the Friday edition. We got to go out a little easy here on the Maggie Dawn Show. I wanted to talk a little bit about Temu. You want to join our conversation? Have you bought stuff on Temu? Are you buying clothes? Are you buying, gosh, oh no, cosmetics? Are you buying knockoff handbags? Are you buying little gizmos for random tasks around the house? They've got almost all of it. 855-752-4842. My guest for this last segment, the effervescent Terry Barr, telling us what is local and overlooked in the state of Wisconsin. Have a great Memorial Day, Terry.
You too. You and Brian both as well.
I appreciate that. We're going to take just a couple of very important messages and come right back. Have you bought stuff off Temu? I want to talk about it, and I'll give you the dope, the inside stuff on what exactly Temu is here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Back in just a moment.
You are the enemy of the people.
By the way, not in my opinion, in the opinion of hundreds of thousands of people on Twitter.
Don't do that. Please don't walk on broken glass. Although I do love me some Annie Lennox, Brian. I mean, that's just good
she
stuff.
She does have a really nice tone in her voice. And on the walking glass thing, unless you're Bruce Willis in Die Hard, you definitely don't have to walk on broken glass.
Yeah, don't do that. He's Brian Kelly. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. You want to have some closing thoughts before the weekend? You want to tell me if you bought anything on Temu? 855-75-CIVIC. 855-752-4842. Have you seen this Temu thing, Brian?
I am blissfully unaware. It's and you know what? I'm down for bargain things, but again, when it comes to clothing, most people who make clothing don't conceive of people who are 6'5", 325 plus pounds. Just generally, no.
I'm going to have to just say to you, my friend, I feel your pain because most people that make women's clothing aren't thinking of a woman who's 6 feet in bare feet and, you know, 6'4" in heels.
Yeah.
And, you know,
yeah,
wonderfully curvy.
You are a formidable woman. I got to tell you, my entire my mom's side of the family, five of the eight kids are women. And I can tell you who plays center, who plays tackle, and who are the guards. My mom is a tackle, by the way, just so we're all clear. I love her very much. Happy Mother's Day, Mom. I love you.
Yeah. Oh, we should do a whole show, Brian, where it's just me and you comparing notes about when we've worked. For me, it was the ladies' side of the security at a bar/restaurant, oh. You know, right? I also was the effective chaperone on a shuttle taking people to sporting events.
Oh, Lord.
From a bar restaurant. Yes, that was back in college. Fun times that, you know, you never want for stories when you've been in those situations.
Oh, I've seen some things. I carried a young lady, just real quick, I carried a young lady over my shoulder and brought her out of the bar after it closed and locked the door behind her. But the whole time she was telling me how her mob boss father would have me killed while she was beating on my back. And I'm like, that's amazing. I'm sure your mob boss dad is really happy that you're telling everybody that you're the, I'm sure that he's going to be happy to come down here. Hey, yeah.
Yeah. Suffice it to say, I don't think either Fancy Brian or I are going to be buying any clothes off of Temu, But it is all, it kind of blew up over the Super Bowl. They ran an ad that basically said, shop like a billionaire. And they've got lots and lots of different products kind of positioning itself as a alternative to Amazon. You can find almost any there. Like if you want a gizmo to help you, you know, de-stem strawberries, Temu has a specific that is the de-stem strawberry gizmo thing that just works for that.
Okay. So are they doing like a blanket, like Japanese takeover where they undersell the product until they become the product and now they can start making profit later?
That's part of the model. And so you'll see some prices that are just inconceivably low. Again, it's a Chinese based company. It's moved its headquarters around, but it's Chinese in its origins. And it's basically gamified its app and its site. So like every time you log on, it'll be like, spin the wheel and see what your discount is. And oh, big surprise. It will almost always come up with, you get 85% off something. So stuff's nearly free. But there's all sorts of concerns around intellectual property. They'll sell things that look nearly identical to the package of the on-brand seller. There are concerns over child labor because where is this stuff manufactured? All sorts of things like that. It's really interesting to see the variety of stuff they have on the website. Now, of course, if stuff's getting made, you know, a continent and ocean away, this ain't Amazon. There's no prime delivery next day, 2 day, 3 day window thing. It might take a little bit of time for you to receive the product. And also just be aware, you can return within 90 days from purchase, not from when you receive it, from purchase. So that's something to be aware of. I just have never gotten into these sites. But again, I've got at least one friend that swears by it. She's buying reams of clothes from Temu.
Hey, if things work for you and you're buying it, that's capitalism. Go for it. I'm not going to crap on you for that. I mean, if it's, you know, being made out of this, you know, the skins of children after they're killed, then maybe that's a different thing. But, you know,
yeah,
I wonder about the one. Is it a strategy to undercut this, or are these things being made that cheaply and the people being taken advantage of? Is it like, how does this work? And on top of that, do they have pop-up ads on the site? How are they monetizing?
The ads are popping up everywhere, and it's gotten so diffuse across the U.S. economy that postal workers are complaining. If it was just, this isn't like Amazon where you can say, oh, send it in one box. Every single thing is sent in its own packaging and own bag. And literally postal carriers are complaining about becoming Temu tired.
Wow.
There's just such a volume of stuff going on out there. If you think about it, Terry mentioned it and I think it's appropriate. You got to think about the waste end of it, not just the packaging, but so much of the stuff, like how many tchotchkes can one possibly accumulate in one's lifetime?
That number is, by the way, infinite. So you know, it's officially infinite.
There should be some sort of philosophical theory. Is the theory of the infinite tchotchke. Like you can always buy another, you know, Hummel/ gnome. I have to admit, I've got a small gnome thing that you will find them seasonally sprinkled around the house in surprising places.
How possibly would any small town with any sort of tourist attraction have any sort of business without selling tchotchkes nearby? That's what you do. Is what do you want to do? I don't know what to do. We've gone out to dinner everywhere. Let's go to the tchotchke stores.
Let's buy some key rings and snow globes.
Do you know how much? Do you know how much French soap I bought when I was in Temecula?
Lots. Little lavender packets. Ditto. Right. Oh my god.
Musk smell.
I'm Maggie Dawn. He's Brian Kelly. It's been a great week, folks. Have a wonderful weekend. Happy Friday. Happy Memorial Day. Please stay safe out there, especially with some of the weather here in southeastern Wisconsin. That's it for me. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it is always better when we stand together.
Senator, I said that it's settled as a precedent of the Supreme Court entitled to respect under principles of stare decisis.